Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Shrimp Tank, brought to you every week from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on Business Radio X. I am your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, and we're going to come to you in just a minute. I'll let you know that every show right now is brought to you by Savant. We are interviewing the brightest and best business owners in the state of Georgia about the do's and don'ts of starting, growing, and creating a successful business. The Shrimp Tank is also going to bring you some live pitches, new business ideas from young entrepreneurs, the brightest and the best across the state of Georgia, in front of our panel of elite business owners. We don't call ourselves the Sharks, we're the Shrimps, but we will be judging some of these kids across the state of Georgia to see their ideas about whether or not their business will swim or will it float in the tank. Mm-hmm. So, hey, Chris, welcome and thanks for being with me today, as we are every Tuesday.
No, thanks, Ted. Happy New Year.
Yeah, that's right. It is a new year where it went from 80 degrees and 30 degrees in about, a second. Everyone that came into my office today was extremely frigid and they went for the coffee and not the Coca-Cola. So we always like to start the show here a little bit with discussing what's going on in the world of entrepreneurship. And then we're going to bring on our guest today, Steve Einstein from Classic Tents and Events, and talk to you more about his business and what he does, which is really exciting. Who would ever think about getting into the tent business? When you find out some of the things that Steve does, you may ask yourself if you want to get into the tent business, but it's really another amazing way for somebody to be able to think about being an entrepreneur. And every week, we want to bring you a little bit about what's happening in the world of not only Georgia entrepreneurship, but just statistics overall. And I was wondering, Chris, you know, notice that you teach kids all the time about entrepreneurship. What do you notice about how entrepreneurs work and in terms of goal setting as it pertains to what they think about in the beginning of a year?
Yeah, that's a pretty timely topic because right now everybody's thinking about goals for the year. But what's interesting is we get into this sort of mindset of writing down our goals, which there's a lot of research on. When we write down a goal, we tend to, the chances of us actually hitting it increase dramatically. So the worst case, you at least want to write it. But sometimes we write down that goal and we don't necessarily review it. And at the end of the year, we realize we didn't hit the goal. So goals become somewhat meaningless.
I never knew if this was a study that was done by Harvard or Yale, but I've seen whatever is the purported study that said at one point that they had kids in a class. I can't remember what year they graduated, but they talked about kids that set no goals. Some kids set goals and they never reviewed it. And then there were kids that set goals and reviewed it on a regular basis. And there was a tremendous disparity in income in what those kids earn. Is there
no
any
doubt
truth to that?
Absolutely, there is. Yeah, there was a study on that, and about only about 3% of those students actually wrote down the goals, but those 3% could dramatically outperform their peers. There's something about writing, not just typing too, but something about how our brain works. We connect dots better when we actually write stuff down.
It's funny you say that, because I think most of the entrepreneurs that I met are avid goal setters, whether the kind of owners that they ultimately want to buy a yacht, or they're the kind of owners that basically want to build a legacy. They are avid goal setters.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's the essence of entrepreneurship sometimes. We're willing to sacrifice today for the possibility of something better tomorrow. But what's interesting is there's research coming out, not just on writing down the goals, but sometimes we get focused on the goals, which is a result and an outcome, versus the process. So now there's more and more written about systems, meaning like, okay, what am I committed to doing every day? And the results just manifest by the fact that I'm doing this every day. So one of the new sort of thoughts I sort of have been thinking about and working with entrepreneurs and the students is, what are the processes that you're committed to every single day? Let's worry a little bit less about the goals, but like, let's focus on the process. And that way we focus on what we need to do on a daily basis, as opposed to, hey, here's a goal, I'm going to write it down and I hope to hit it.
Yeah, ideas are fun, but until these plans get to be executed, nothing's really going to happen.
Absolutely.
In that business. You know, I read a book a number of years back by Andy Grove, who's the former CEO of Intel, and he had written a book called Only the Paranoid Survive. And is there a reason, or is it just me, or am I just dreaming, that most entrepreneurs seem to be stressed out control freaks? And is there any truth to that stressed out control freaks make great entrepreneurs? People like Lee Heisman and myself, that, you know, incessantly tapping our cell phone every 11 seconds. Is
absolutely
that true?
You know, if you isolate the reasons people become entrepreneurs, control comes up number two in most surveys.
True?
Number two. So it's a huge draw, right? I want control. There's a perception of control over my own destiny. In fact, I found this interesting, but in World War II, they did studies on the pilots and the navigators. And the navigators always felt higher stress levels in combat. And the reason that they think is, well, the pilots have perceived control. Right? Like maybe I'm at risk the same whether my wife drives or I'm driving down the road. But when I drive down the road, I feel a little bit safer. Why? The perception of control. And entrepreneurs, we have a feeling that we are in control of our own destiny. We feel like we're driving it. We have influence over the outcomes. And therefore, we tend to be happier because entrepreneurs tend to be happier than their corporate counterparts.
You know, I taught my wife to drive, so I always feel safer when I'm driving than with my wife. Even though she's a good driver, when you teach your wife to drive, it's not the real way to start a marriage, but I did that. So there's an entrepreneur thing. And I wanted to ask you one last question before we get to Steve today and talk about his exciting business. And we've got some really cool segments that we're going to be bringing to you today. You're going to want to stick around to hear our hot or not, which is going to be very interesting. And then Steve is going to have an opportunity later in the show to plead the fifth.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Uh-oh. That's never any good. But I'm just curious with the, you growing everything at KSU and the Entrepreneurship Center. And the Growth Net Center, how many kids are enrolled in the program now? And is there some long-term goal 5 years from now about how many that you would see that would be involved in the program?
Right now, we're right at 100 per semester. So each semester, about 100. The concern that I have is the growth of the Entrepreneurship Center is controlling the quality because the demand is there. I mean, who doesn't want the possibility of something better? Entrepreneurship is something that appeals to most of us. So as far as students and young people, it's easy to attract them. So we're trying to figure out a way, how do we sort of limit the number of folks? Because we're having a huge, huge response to the center that we sort of just launched.
Well, that's really cool stuff. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank here on Business Radio X. I'm sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks. We've got Ryan on the board.
Yep, I'm right here producing. Yeah. All right, ready, got your back here, guys. So good show so far.
I like it. We're going to have sound effects for you and all kinds of stuff like that. I'm still waiting for the boss hole sound of effect right now. I don't know how we're going to
Hashtag boss hole.
How we're going to put that in here. And I'm Ted Jenkin with you every Tuesday from 4 to 5. You always catch a replay of our shows on shrimptankpodcast.com. I want to bring our guest in today, and I apologize because apparently I mispronounced his last name twice already, but okay. We're just starting the show, so it happens. We got Steve Eisenstein. Did I do that right?
That's great.
I was close on that one. Who is the owner and founder of Classic Tents and Events. I had the good fortune about a year ago to be able to go out and see his facility, which is unbelievable. And for any of you that don't think that the tent business is an exciting business, by gosh, you take one trip out to Steve's headquarters and you'll find out that there is a lot of action going on in that business. So welcome to the show. We wanted to ask you tell us a little bit about your business and how you got started. How does one get involved into the tent business and much more?
Well, thanks first off for inviting me to join you here. I'm glad to be here. I'm a native here from Atlanta, and I basically was in the catering industry for about 15 years. And I made a jump out of the catering world and bought someone else's business. A woman who started the business 16 years ago already now, basically bought her out and became the owner of Classic Tents and Events. And believe it or not, her company was a long time ago an advertising business. And basically it was called Corey Advertising. They've had a bunch of inflatables that basically were on top of people's buildings. And when the Olympics came to Atlanta, they bought a whole bunch of tents. They had a whole bunch of events going on. And soon they had so many different tents that it became a tent rental company. So we own a lot of 10x10s. So we do a lot of festivals. We now do a lot of movie productions here in town because that is a huge business for Georgia. A lot of production companies come in here, set up shop, film their movies and move on, or television, which is really popular. So we have a whole gamut of different types of clients. We have retail clients. We've got education for different schools. KSU is actually a client. We've done tents for them.
I know.
It's really an exciting business because there's no 2 days that are ever the same. We do a lot of annual events every year. However, there's a lot of different events that will pop in that are, one and dones.
So when you're running a large business like that with so many moving parts and pieces, how do you define success?
Wow. So success for us is at the end of each day that we know our clients have what they need and what they ordered and they're happy. Getting text messages or emails from them saying their event went off with out any hitches, and that we were able to solve all the challenges that were presented to us while we were setting up or while the party was going on. That for us is success. You know, when they come back again and do the event again with us next year, that again is another true success event for us.
Well, it's interesting to hear how you got into this business, because I don't think we've had somebody yet that actually bought out an existing business. Yeah. And knowing that buying an existing business does come with its handful of challenges. So when you take over somebody else's problems or successes one way or another, how do you go about creating your culture, the Steve culture that went into, you know, Classic Tents and Events?
Well, a lot of my hospitality background basically came into play when I purchased her business. I took a look at everything that she did from start to finish, how the operation ran, the people that she was involved with, the vendors she was dealing with, the customers that they were, you know, getting their monies from, and basically just studied every single bit of the, you know, each transition that happened, or each acquisition, or each part of the business, and figured out, you know, how it works and how it could be made better. And we basically used to be in a 12,000 square foot warehouse where we couldn't grow any longer. In order for us to continue our growth, we actually had to move to a larger facility. So 3 years ago, we moved into our 44,000 square foot warehouse, and we bought a tent washing machine, which is a key element to our success. We have bright white tents that we deliver to our customers, and they're clean. And so we actually have a whole cleaning division now where we can wash other people's tents as well. So again, it's we immerse ourselves into the tent rental business. We studied what other companies do in other cities. We made friends with all these people in other places and, you know, found out from them what goes well, what doesn't go well, what works, what doesn't work. How can we make our business even better than it is now? And it's also through an association that we belong to called the American Rental Association. They put on classes. I'm actually involved on the board for that organization here in Georgia. But it's basically, you know, seeing what other people do, how can we be better than what they do? How can we deliver a better product? And it's basically just kind of making sure your customers are happy and going above and beyond.
So what did you look at when you're evaluating an existing business to purchase? What were the top three metrics that you looked at?
So we studied her P&L, we studied her balance sheet, we studied who her customers were, we studied her operations, and I mean, the key drivers there were, you know, cash flow, seeing a P&L that actually was making money, and understanding how if we added different items to what she's already doing, how we could make it more profitable.
Did you do anything to validate that P&L?
So we got with professionals that are in the business already, and got with accountants and have them help us, allowing people who do really good job with what they're known for, and allowing them to help us in evaluating their numbers.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here in Atlanta, Business Radio X. I'm sitting here with Chris Hanks, my co-host. I'm Ted Jenkin. We're sitting here with our guest today, Steve Eisenstein, who is the owner of Classic Tents and Events, and having a great discussion so far about taking over a business. And I think it's interesting, by the way, because many business owners where a flaw in spending money is they don't spend money to value a business, especially when they buy one. They think they're going to look at a P&L and figure out some concocted formula for themselves. What I think is very interesting, and I'd love for you to share with our listeners today, is that when you take over a business, part of the idea is, can you figure out other value-added ways to create different cash flow streams in your business? Now, I noticed when I was in your facility, and I was thinking about this because I enjoyed a movie as a kid called Car Wash. And I was thinking one day that would be a neat business to own, to have a car wash. And then I noticed that Steve has a chair wash, not a car wash, but a chair wash. And it's some concocted machine that he sticks a chair in and it shimmies along, and all of a sudden you have a clean chair. How does one even think about the idea of adding revenue in a tent business by cleaning chairs?
So again, because we have so many thousands of chairs, it's all about labor and increasing your labor costs. I'm sorry, not increasing, but saving money on labor. And so by finding machines out there that are able to maximize our efficiencies, we talk with other companies and find out how they do it. And there's this product out there, and basically it's a chair washing machine.
To help you buy a chair wash.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know where to look.
Chairwash.com.
Right?
So did you just get that on GoDaddy?
If that's not
right
a business,
now?
It will be in about 10 minutes. So yeah.
So again, by having this tent washing machine, we can now wash other people's vinyl. So we've gotten another sets of customers from this. There's
a company. Other people's vinyl. That's OPV.
Yeah,
OPV.
It is.
Yeah, that's right.
I like that.
Yeah, it's nice. Quick.
Yeah.
Cool, Chris. You don't need a rapper. We got Chris.
That's right. I'm down with OPV.
Classic Tense and Events, hashtag OPV. It's on right now.
You're down with that. All right. Yeah. So this is funny. So anyways, there are other streams that are able to be added. So we realized that linens were another way that we could add another revenue stream. So we didn't own linens at the time when I first took over. They were renting linens from other companies. And we found out that, linens is a really quick return.
Yeah, what do you have, like the world's largest dryer there? I saw that. It's like the size of a wall.
I wish we did. We basically, we just recently added a whole bunch of big tall poles in our back lot, and we now dry our tents using these racks. So the guys have a system where they can pull up the vinyl up on these racks and dry them much quicker. But we don't actually wash our linens at our facility. We have someone else that comes and picks those up for us. But again, before I bought the business, we studied all the different departments and figured out what items we could add to the inventory that could help on the return on our income. And the nice thing about the rental business is after, X amount of times, the product is paid for. And then after that, it's profit. So it's a really fun business, and we really enjoy it and have a great time with it. And we've got a great set of customers. Our customer retention is very high, and we're very, very customer focused. So we want to make sure that we take good care of our clients because they're the ones who pay us.
So would you recommend then, based on your experience, because I spent a lot of time talking about, franchising versus startup versus buying, and you bought. So what's the biggest, what would you recommend to people who are considering actually buying an existing business versus those other two forms?
Well, before I actually purchased Classic Tents and Events, I studied other franchises and said, maybe this is a good idea. So, I mean, there's great marketing behind those companies. But for me, I didn't want to have to pay the royalties reoccurring each year. So I figured if I could find something that is a little off the grid, it's not necessarily having to pay those kind of returns, but it still has a great name, has a great reputation, has a great presence, and has a great need. That's kind of how I landed where I am. But for me, it's really a personal decision, I would say, for different people looking at businesses to figure out really, what their expertise level is and what their capacity of handling risk is. Because when you're going into a franchise, a lot more things have already been determined. There's standard operating procedures already set up. There's a marketing set up. There's people out there that are already doing it that you can talk to. While being in the tent rental business is a lot different than going into a franchise.
Did you finance it yourself, or did you use any combination of owner financing as well, which I know is a big advantage of buying an existing business? But
so that was another key benefit to buying this business is the owner that had it was able to offer owner financing.
Yeah, and the majority of business purchases come with some form of owner financing. Yes. That's one thing that always attracted me, despite, there's definitely some disadvantages, but that part is always attractive.
Beautiful thing.
And that was in your case.
And she offered, financing with it was 3% plus prime.
Yeah.
For the note, and basically by next year I'll be done paying her off.
And how many years?
It purchased in 2010.
So next year you'll be
So 7 years. And again, my note was for longer, but we're paying her off quicker.
Yep.
So we've got a lot of existing entrepreneurs and a lot of young entrepreneurs that would be listening to the tank. And one of the things that's interesting in here is that not only did you buy this business, but then you ultimately purchased a building, you expanded your warehouse, and how would you recommend a younger entrepreneur starting to build a relationship with a bank? Because I think many entrepreneurs don't realize how valuable it is to build a relationship with a bank and figuring out what they'll need in terms of lines of credit or loans or why they would keep deposits on hand. How did you go about doing that? Because clearly as you expand, you can use free cash flow in the business, but there's also that idea of how you leverage debt.
Absolutely. So we definitely value our relationship with our bank. When we first bought the building, we went to several different banks to figure out who could offer the best rates. And we shopped around quite a bit and landed with one bank here in town and continued our relationship with them. And that's who our line of credit is with. And they also have the mortgage in our building as well. So it is very important to have a great relationship with a bank. It's something that I've really come to understand a lot better as the years have gone on. And as we grow our business and continue to expand, it's always something that you want to stay in touch with them and keep them abreast of what's going on.
So you're proactive in that, in sharing not just the required information, but you take a proactive approach?
Absolutely. So yeah.
I would tell you, I have found over the years that bankers seem to love a clean P&L. Mm-hmm. If you can give them a P&L at the end of the year and they can actually read it and it isn't hieroglyphics, they're mm-hmm. pretty happy.
It's true.
You know, as I ask you 100 questions about what's going on in the business, and that's yeah. when they tend to like to extend you more credit.
And the great thing is, with our bank, they actually have provided referrals for us as well. They've come up with ideas for other, you know, companies or people that do festivals that we should talk to. So that's not something you see all the time, but it's very helpful.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank here, brought to you by Savant. We're on Atlanta Business Radio X. I'm sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks. I'm Ted Jenkin. And you can always get a replay of every show right on shrimptankpodcast.com. If you go on to YouTube, you're going to see some videos of unbelievable business owners in the state of Georgia here. The last several weeks, we had on the top real estate agent in the country. We had on a guy that actually waterproofs basements and makes tons of money doing it. We've got Steve Eisenstein on with us today, who owns Classic Tents and Events. I'm going to tell you what I'm amazed about by Steve and having seen his facility, because I think he's being very humble here, is that, you know, when you think about running a business, what's interesting is about creating streams of income. And if you can create more streams of income, you can limit some of your liability when you run your business. And I'm wondering, you know, not only from the chair washing to the drying, but I know that you'll make a sort of cement bottom so the tents don't fly off. You've taught me something about how much water can hold in a drum, which is really interesting. But where do you come up with the ideas to be thinking about these additional streams of revenue to grow your business?
So again, thanks for the compliments there. Yeah. We are very proud of our facility. It's basically studying what other people are doing across the country. So I can't claim the block and roll thing, but basically there is a company in New York, and they have a tent rental company, and they've devised a way to move cement blocks using these carts. And it's a great way to move 350 pound cement blocks or 700 pound blocks. These are for a rental or for sale to customers as well. So there's other tent companies that we actually deal with. So we actually have a wholesale line where if somebody doesn't have enough tents, they'll come to us and we'll rent them our tents. If they need weights, then we'll either sell them our weights or rent them our weights. But basically it's watching what other people are doing in the market and seeing what the best thing is and keeping up with it. So the block and roll is a safe way to keep tents down. Water barrels are not safe. And unfortunately, we've had...
Who knows this kind of stuff?
Who knew? But there's basically three different ways to stake a tent down. It's using stakes in the ground, it's using water barrels, and it's using cement blocks. For us, we prefer the cement blocks. I can sleep at night knowing that the tents are not going anywhere if Mother Nature is going to, you know, have a big 40-mile-per-hour wind come through. We learned the hard way, unfortunately. We had a tent set up in a parking lot at a Kroger, and unfortunately, Mother's Day weekend, or it's Valentine's Day weekend, came through. 40-mile-per-hour winds moved a tent from point A 100 feet further north, and it knocked into a car, and it was scary. And we, after
Run
that
for
happened,
the frozen food section.
Right? After that happened, we decided that there's got to be a better way, and whatever it is, we're going to go with it, because we want to be safe, and we're all about safety in our business.
Yeah, no, I love what you say, and Ted's brought it up a couple times about the different sources of revenue. And just for the younger entrepreneurs out there, I just wanted to point out that just by doing that, you've increased the value of your business. Mm-hmm. So it's the sources of revenue that can have an influence in your value just as much as how much of your revenue, because it tends to limit risk. And anytime we limit risk, value goes up. So one thing I wanted to ask you too is in your experience as an entrepreneur, has there been like one big aha moment that you could say, okay, you know what, if some listener out there could take one thing away, here's the thing that I would wish that you would remember about being an entrepreneur, what is that?
Well, I think for us, the most important thing is really just listen to your customers. And by listening to what they're asking for and delivering, you're taking care of what they need. So for us, we're a service-oriented business. We're in the washing business. At the same time, we have a commodity. There's a lot of tent companies out there in Atlanta. But if you take care of your customers and listen to what they're asking for and deliver, they're going to return and they're going to be happy and they're not going to look for other people.
Well, awesome. We are excited to bring you every single week our new segment as we start the new year here, called Hot or Not.
Oh.
Yeah, this isn't going to be models walking down the Atlanta Business Radio X runway, unfortunately. But we wanted to talk about entrepreneurs and sort of get your take for, again, kids across the state of Georgia and even business owners out there that are learning from you and the other entrepreneurs in our show about how to grow and run a successful business. So the first hot or not, or I would ask you is, should you hire family members?
Ooh, that's a not.
It's a not.
I've learned that one the hard way.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you hire a family member?
So no. My dad has a Mexican restaurant, or he was in the restaurant business. I worked with him.
I'm so glad he said that. I thought he was going to say Mexican family member, didn't you?
No.
I thought that's where he was going when he said that. So
basically,
I'm so glad he clarified.
I worked for him, with him, and it's very difficult because there's no break in line of church and state. You know, it's right. Like if you're working with your family member, they could call you at 11 o'clock at night and start asking you questions about what went on that day. And your normal employers would not call you at 11 o'clock at night and ask you or harass you for information.
No one's ever worked for me yet or Lee.
You're fine. Well, it's a little.
It's true though. They get you anywhere, anytime.
No matter what, it's
family
no bad time.
Functions, holiday yes. functions, anywhere. Yeah. It's always let's talk business.
Yeah. Yes,
Thanksgiving can be very awkward.
I've realized that we should probably add friends to that list because it's not really good to have friends working for you as well, because sometimes you feel a different way about something and they might not feel the same way and you might not be friends anymore. Yeah. So sometimes firing a friend is really difficult. So can't fire your family, or you can be fired, but you're always going to be family members. Yes. You can't. Right. Yeah. Blood is blood.
All right. Take on equity partners or not?
Depends if you need it or not. If you can handle giving up some control and ownership, then it's a maybe.
Maybe at best there, huh?
I guess it just depends on each situation. I mean, for me, I have a partner. She works with us. She's a very interesting person to work with. She's very nice. I've learned a lot from her, and I'm glad she's with us. And without her, we couldn't do 90% of what we do.
Does a new business owner or somebody who wants to start a business need a business plan? Is that a hot or not?
That's a good, yes. It's a hot.
They need a business plan.
You need a business plan.
It's not just a piece of paper that basically people look at and go, whoa, I wrote a business plan, but I'm not really going to look at it.
It doesn't help.
I'm not saying I've done that. Yes, I have. But.
Sure.
It definitely helps kind of stick with the plan. And banks want to see the business plan and other people want to see the business plan. It's good to have a start like that.
And they teach that? You teach that at KSU? The kids learn how to write a business plan?
They do, except we change the language a little bit because, you know, some people say, well, I'm not into business plans. I believe in lean startup. Well, it's kind of the same thing. You know, they include finance, they include operations management. So, you know, however we call it, with strategic plan, business plan, you know, whatever you want to call it, we need some kind of thought into what your future will look like.
So hot or not, pay bonuses to employees.
Hot.
Oh, you like that, huh? Well, how do you pay your bonuses to employees? What way do you do that?
So right now our sales people are incentivized by bonus. So they're
not by commission, it's by bonus.
Well, I guess bonus and commission to me are very similar.
That's not what Best Buy says. They'll sell you a warranty in about 8 seconds.
That's true.
It's incentivized on sales. If you sell more, you get paid more.
Absolutely.
What about for people that aren't in sales?
So we're working on that. So we're coming up with some metric systems to basically judge how long it took these guys out in the field to set up X tent. So maybe if it's a 40 by 60. And there's a lot of different factors involved because sometimes they might have flooring in it. It might have full walls around it and heat. So that might take on a little bit more time than a regular tent. So it's basically by time. And it's basically to also make sure they've got all the right parts and pieces. I don't like sending an oops truck. If we have to send an oops truck, you know, our job costing now, that means we forgot something back at the shop and we got to turn around and we got to bring that other piece to the job.
Is that really how you say it?
Unfortunately, so. I'm copying somebody else's terminology, but that's what it is. It's an oops. I forgot this piece. We got to get it. It happens. We're humans. So unfortunately, it's part of the job. But if we can have everything the first time, we're all better already.
All right. Hot or not? Consultants.
Hot.
Why?
Because certain areas we might not be so well-versed on, where we might need some help and advice. And if they can bring to us some ideas that we didn't think of that can help bring in some revenue or bring in a new segment that we didn't think of or didn't try before, it's worth it.
So what kind of consultant do you use the most?
Well, I mean, we're fans of Savant. I mean, we're customers of Savant. And so he's come up with some ideas as far as how we can deliver our customer service a little bit better. So we're working on a project in January where I would say an IT consultant, because, you know, if, when, gosh forbid, your IT goes down, you're in deep caca.
And where would you go for that valuable information? What company would you look to?
Oh, we're big fans of Savant. Yeah.
How do you spell that? I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't quite get that. Is it, how do you spell that? What is that?
It's called Give Me Your Amex Number, and they bill you monthly and stuff like that. That's what it is.
That's true. He's got you too, huh?
Yeah, it'll be out of mind, out of sight.
Right. But it's a service that's well worth its money.
And you said that's Savant. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
All right.
But I think one of the key questions in here that you're talking about is, I think there becomes a point at the size of the business of when you bring it in-house and when you outsource. And a lot of small business owners in a startup business, they cheap out on hiring consultants thinking that they're going to hire an employee or they're going to get it all done in-house. And in fact, they set themselves backwards.
Mm-hmm. This is true. So we actually, it's funny enough, we had a consultant not too long ago that has come to us and proposed to us some different ideas, ways that we can kind of be more efficient. And in a summary, we basically said, right, we're going to give it a try ourselves to see if we can do it. And if we can't, then we're going to go give this guy a shot. So again, it's all about your cash flow and it's about your, you know, return on your investment. So if this person can bring some value to your business and show you that you're going to get something in return, then it would be definitely worth it.
Well, hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank here. You've just heard our first Hot or Not segment. I think I'm going to like this segment during the year.
Good stuff.
It's really, really awesome stuff. This is how you get to the down and dirty about what's really happening and what's on the minds of the brightest and best business owners across the state of Georgia. I'm Ted Jenkin, coming here every week with my co-host, Chris Hanks. We're on Atlanta Business Radio X. You can hear us every week from 4 to 5 here on Tuesdays, and you can get the replay on shrimptankpodcast.com. We're also going to have some great video footage of all of our entrepreneurs. If you want to see them and sort of get a way to meet them and hear some of their tips, we'll shoot video that will not only be on the website, but will also be on YouTube that you can see as well. We're here with our guest, Steve Eisenstein, who's the owner of Classic Tents and Events. I think has just built a fabulous business in a very challenging industry. Again, I'm amazed by what Steve does. I had coffee with him one day, and you talk about the tent business. Well, he basically took over like half of Home Depot this year, because apparently you don't think about this, but you need tents and a place to put all the Christmas trees during that season. And I was amazed by what you did. That's just like a really creative idea and a way to grow the business. So now we come to our big wrap-up segment. This is the one that we're also rolling out this week that I think is going to be fun, called Plead the Fifth. We're going to ask you a bunch of questions, and I'm going to let Chris ask the first one here today, but you can only plead the fifth once. Uh-oh. I don't take this test personally because I have too many skeletons and demons, and I just don't want to answer that many questions, but our guests do. So let's fire away here on plead the fifth.
We'll fire away, and maybe a gentle one since this is the first one. Your biggest fear as an entrepreneur?
Biggest fear as an entrepreneur would be having to close up shop and, auction off all the items we have.
God, I had three letters when you said that. IRS. That just,
Yeah.
That's true, too.
You get letters from them. Yeah, absolutely. It does not feel good.
No. Yeah, that wouldn't bother me a bit, though, because we're...
That scares me for some reason, because I feel like that's the only thing where you're guilty until proven innocent, right? You have to prove that you haven't been
true. Yeah, or you just get some random thing from the Department of Labor in the state of Georgia. You're like, what is this letter? I don't even know what it is that you're sending me. Well, how about a plead the fifth? Is it a good idea to marry an entrepreneur?
Absolutely. I'm down with that.
You're down with that.
I want my wife to be more of an entrepreneur. Is that safe to say? Is she listening? Hi, honey. You out there?
So you want your wife to get more.
I'm down with that.
So you would highly recommend to others listening there to marry an entrepreneur.
I think the more you have, the great ideas come from that. So by all means, bring it on.
Okay. Your most hated competitor.
Oh.
Okay. What about him?
Who is it?
Oh. So
is that one you want to take the fifth on?
And Ryan doesn't like dead air time.
It's a good question.
I have no problems with our competition. I mean, it's healthy to have competition out there. I'm going to say this, because of our competition and because of them, we've gained a lot more clients because they didn't listen to their customers. And we have taken those customers and we've grown with them. And so therefore, we admire them and we appreciate all the things that they are not doing.
All right. In that 30,000 plus square foot warehouse, I want to know, have
44,000.
I'm sorry. I was off by 14,000 square feet. 44,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had an employee that you caught sleeping like in one of those bays underneath there somewhere?
Good question.
Wow. We have not.
Oh.
We have not. That is a... We keep our eyes on our employees.
I have to make an admission here, Steve, that when
you
was
caught somebody sleeping.
No, I'm not saying that.
Steve was sleeping back then.
When I was 18 years old, I did for one summer. I was a cherry picker. Mm. I drove one of those forklifts,
sure.
And I noticed that a lot of the people about 2 p.m. Mm. in the afternoon would find a small couch underneath one of the bays and fall asleep. Mm. And I did do that once or twice.
Well, I will say, because of our clients, we come in at all sorts of odd hours to start and finish. So it's not unheard of for us to start at 3 o'clock in the morning and have a tent up and done by 7 a.m. We have the Decatur Book Festival for us is a job that we do all night long. So we'll get out there and we'll be setting up tents until 3 or 4 in the morning. So it's not uncommon for our guys to come back and get some Z's. We want them to be well rested, but we have not had that challenge with sleeping on the job.
Have you ever missed or come close to missing a payroll?
Negatory.
That's
knock,
impressive.
Knock on wood.
No, that's impressive. And yeah. You said that with such confidence.
No,
that,
I would feel horrible if that ever had to happen. Yes. And no.
I like that. I'm crediting you with that new Webster's word right there.
Right. Negatory.
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 We're adding
like strategery.
That,
I'm down with
yeah.
that.
Like strategery.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I want to know, what's your favorite mode of transportation to get around the warehouse?
Okay, well, we have this thing called the Tent Ox. It's really called an Avant, but it's my favorite machine. But this machine, I actually have a picture in this book here. It is
a Tent Ox.
It's a really cool machine, and basically we can drive stakes in the ground using this machine. Okay, we can move things. It's got a forklift on there. We actually can have a block and roll attachment on there. It can pull stakes out of the ground using this machine. We can push center poles up using this machine. We move these 700-pound blocks using this. So this machine is really useful. It has 100 different attachments that could be added to this thing. So different industries use it for different reasons. But for us in the tent business, we love it. And I love driving it. It's like a cool toy. But I will also say we have a golf cart that we use to basically move our frames from point A to point B when we're at these big, large parks. And I kind of enjoy driving the golf cart around too. It's a gator, and we can put our tops and we can put our frame on this thing. And we have a little tow. The trailer that we move it in, we put behind this.
Now, we understand you're pretty good at the unicycle. Is that true or false? Is
yeah,
that...
all right. So I forgot to tell. Yeah, so I do ride a unicycle as well. It is in the warehouse. I forgot that he knows about this stuff. But yes, because of when I was young, my dad was a clown. And I've been a clown since I was 3 years old. I ride a unicycle. I do some juggling. I do a little bit of magic. I haven't dressed up since my youngest has been around. But yeah, I could basically take three miscellaneous items and juggle whatever.
Oh,
it is.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome.
So yes, Lee, that's your call. Thank you very much for bringing that.
I think we've come full circle here with the tents,
yes,
the juggling,
absolutely.
The clown.
We're the only tent company that could provide entertainment definitely. Underneath our tent. Thank you very much.
And I think that provides a valuable lesson in balance as an entrepreneur.
Well, that's really key. I mean, we are doing that. It's true.
He's right. Boom.
Yep. That's add that to his rap, would you? Well, good job, Chris. Thank you.
On that note, I think that
we're done here.
Mr. Steve has really made it here in the plead the fifth round, but that was amazing stuff. You know, I feel like such more of a lame boss now that I know that he can unicycle around the office. That's amazing. I might be able to hoverboard those little hover wheels or whatever.
They might catch on fire, though, so be careful.
Yeah. So for folks that are listening today and they've got needs from small to large, whether it's parties, events, or they've got a giant corporate deal that they're doing, how can people listening to the Shrimp Tank podcast today get in touch with you or your company to hire you to take care of all their tent and event needs?
So our number is 770-449-1010. We've got a website, classic-tents.com. We've got a Facebook presence out there. By all means, come give us a ring. We'd be happy to quote your job. We typically show up at people's locations. We give a site visit. We measure the space to figure out how that tent's going to work. There's a lot of things that people need to know about. You know, there's sometimes utility lines you got to be aware of. There's gas lines underneath if we're going to stake. There's all sorts of small intricacies that we know about that we will bring up at a site visit. But by all means, we'd love to help you and give us a ring. Facebook us, call us, write us, text us. We're there for you.
That's
thanks
awesome.
For inviting me today, too. I appreciate it.
So it's 770-449-1010.
That's
okay,
it.
Okay, great. Well, check it out. I want to thank Steve for coming on the show today. Thanks for sharing all the great information, not only about entrepreneurship, but yourself and Classic Tents and Events. You know, it always takes a great owner to run a great company. And with the way that your company has expanded here in Atlanta and around the country, it's truly amazing. It's something for both young entrepreneurs and existing entrepreneurs to learn from. And next week, we are going to be bringing you some fantastic guests. We've got JC and Kim Ordonio. These are two entrepreneurs. Whoever thought about getting into the fence business, permanent fences, temporary fences, all kinds of stuff. When you talk about a story, you're going to hear an unbelievable story about somebody that came from nothing and built something that truly is an empire in a really fragmented industry. And then, Chris, what's coming up on the 21st? I understand that we've got a really cool event.
A very cool event, a live event, where we are going to be in front of approximately 500 students at a DECA conference, and we are going to do a live Shrimp Tank event. So that is going to be super exciting.
Oh, yeah. So you got to check it out. The DECA event will get you all of the information. You're going to see some of the brightest and best kids from different schools compete, pitch their ideas in the tank, and find out whether or not it will sink or it will what? It will float in the tank. So, you know, we are going to be giving away dollar bills. I can tell you that. But thanks you all for listening to the Shrimp Tank, coming to you every week here on Business Radio X. We look forward to giving you the best information around entrepreneurs and bringing you some of the brightest and best across the state of Georgia and kids that really want to turn their dreams into reality.